So you see, my love, yes, I'm trying to sell you, for you are a very beautiful woman. And I want one of my sons to have you. Which one? It's up to you. It's up to you. I know about the heart. Women are subconscious. You, son, are superconscious. What is in the way? Self-conscious. First, it must be done within. You become feminine to me. All my sons are females to me. You should see it. But they're men then completely when you turn them around. For all are two. So they are master of all here. You think I'm kidding you, huh? Go check it out for yourself.
This is Maria Demopoulos from The Source Movie, and you're listening to Radio Like You Want.
Once again, beating on your undeserving eardrums,
it's Radio Like You Want.
With your host, Mike Routier.
And Blag the Ripper.
Blag the Ripper, I have returned, ladies and gentlemen, with cult leader, Mike Routier.
That's right, Blag. I just want to welcome all our listeners into our show, into our podcast family, if you will, Blag.
It is a family, and I know you treat every female listener to a special kind of a bonus sexual experience for every time they tune
Each
in.
Each and every person is equal in my eyes. Which means basically we feel no prejudice when we use them as a means to our end.
That's
beside the point.
They're doing dishes in the back while we're making music. It
All
is a crazy show this week.
By this week's guest, Blag.
We have spoken to great new filmmakers, Jody Willey and Maria Demopoulos. They have made a classic documentary, played at the San Francisco Film Festival. The Source is the name of it. It's talking about a 1970s meditation, health food, and bizarre sex cult. Mike, it's the only way that I can describe this.
Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Listen,
or is that the question?
Two out of three ain't bad. You know what I mean? Sex and health food. I can do without the meditation.
But these directors, this isn't your average angle on these cult movies. They don't just indict the cult, right?
Jody actually wanted to join the cult by the end
right?
of it. I mean, you'll have to hear the interview. She's pretty honest about it. But
yeah, they're pretty...
It is a great interview with The Source, but we got a lot of new music this week, too, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You pulled out some great new stuff from the OCs.
That's
from
right.
From the Besmirchers.
Can't go without them.
We're globetrotting. We got an Estrogen OD. We came from the garage. Everything is here this
All
week, Mike.
The usual suspects and more. But we're going to start out with a brand new one from Ty Siegel.
San Francisco by way of the OC. You got to love Ty Siegel on Radio
Like You Want.
Yes, it's true, I am a young man, but I'm old enough to kill. I don't want to kill nobody, but I must if you so will. And if I raise my hand in question, you just say that I'm a fool. 'Cause I got the gall to ask you, can you maybe change the rules? Can you stand and call me upstart? Ask what answer can I find? I ain't saying I'm a genius. 2 plus 2 is on my mind. 2 plus 2 is on my mind. Well, I do a guy like you. Just an average guy. And you had trouble different.
Super! Super, 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 super
Globetrotter, spanning the nine continents of the globe to bring you the finest in punk rock and garbage music.
It's the United Nations of Noise, the International Brotherhood of Rock and Roll, a kumbaya of chaos and carnage.
So join us now, live from points unknown, as we bring you Globetrotter. Flag, where are we packing our bags for this week?
We are like Nazis after World War II. We're headed for Argentina, Mike. Now, this one comes from a longtime listener, Candy Stain from Argentina. She's a little heavy metal. She's a little garage. She's a young, beautiful girl, and she has got a song for you.
You want rolling along, Candy Stain right there with our Globetrotter of the Week, Titolo from Argentina. That one came, Blag.
She is a gorgeous young lady. She's got a long career ahead of her. I predict great things for Candy Stain from all the way down in Argentina.
Somebody was spreading a rumor that she's an escaped Nazi, I heard.
She could be. You never know. But she is from the reservoir tip of Argentina, my friend.
She's on the tip. Before that, Penetration Moon with L.A.,
San Francisco's finest glam exponents. 20 years late, Mike, but they have finally mixed and remixed their special. They put out one little single in 91. Wow. Looks like the whole record is coming out
this
year.
The whole shebang coming at you sometime
glam
this
nostalgia.
Decade. The OCs before that, I Can't Pay You to Disappear. Very tough, tongue-tying title right
this
there.
This is a wild band. I like this band, and I still haven't seen them live, but I'm liking they've got... Somehow they managed to get that kind of obscure, weird 60s feel to their shit without sounding old and retro-y and boring. I don't know.
Well, their equipment has a lot to do with it and their songwriting. I've seen them live a couple times, and they're fantastic. Get out there, Blag. Don't sleep on those guys.
Are they from San Francisco?
Yeah, the Bay Area, yeah.
They are
I believe. I don't know.
Don't
put me on the spot about that. I'm pretty sure.
Listen,
Ty
Siegel
before that. 2+2. I'm loving that track, I tell you what.
Ty Siegel is the best of these garage guys. I'll go out on a limb. He is wild. Ooh. He comes off wild live, and he's making a batch of wild recordings. Sometimes he sounds like a moody John Lennon guy. Sometimes he sounds like garage guy. Sometimes he just sounds like straight-up noise.
Oh, shut up. Let's go old school. It's John Gentile coming up, giving us a new one from the garden right here on radio.
First, I want to hear from the soft boys like you want. We'll be right back.
patterns that form on the wall. Stick out your finger to trace them, just look at them all. Look at the beautiful patterns that form on the wall. Stick out your finger to trace them, just look at them all. Look at them all, look at them all. Yeah, look at them all.
Radio Like You Want. This is John Gentile from Philly, staff writer at punknews.org, and I'm here to bring you some brand new punk rock music from the roots of punk. Today's brand new track comes from a band called The Garden. They've got a little bit of the Screamers lo-fi aesthetic, a little bit of Bauhaus drenched in reverb sound, a little bit of Flipper's dangerousness and unpredictability. The band only has about 3 songs out, and this is one of them. It's called I'm a Woman.
Right, Bauhaus, Flipper, and Susie and the Banshees, and who else was that? All wrapped in the one. The Garden right there. I'm a Woman, as presented by John Gentile. Thanks, John, for sending that in. Where do you come up with these band descriptions?
I think they got the title from Against Me, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, now we're going there, are we? Come on.
Hey-o!
Oh! Where are we going?
Oh, no, the Morning Mallard has been busted out. We're going
soft,
drive time.
Soft Boys. Before that, Rock and Roll Toilet, anything with toilet in the title is okay by me, Blake.
From the classic Soft Boys record, Invisible Hits, it's a little underrated. It deserves much better than it gets, a classic.
A little old school versus new school.
Robin
right there.
Hitchcock.
Take that, John. Mr. Gentile. All right, Blake, so you talked to a couple of jigs that made a documentary about
a couple of wackos. Okay, they made a brilliant movie, and I did an interview that was too goddamn long, Mike, and I apologize for that. I sliced it down as much as I could.
Let it go.
These girls were so fascinating, and this whole subject, I mean, you're going to hear about it. This guy is too much to be believed. He died in a hang gliding accident.
Yeah, that's right. Oahu or something like that. Anyway, the movie's called The Source Documentary, and the guests are
Jody Willey and Maria Demopoulos. They made a great film. You're going to enjoy this, folks.
And how did you start the interview? How did you start this?
All right, welcome back. We're here with Maria Demopoulos and Jody Willey. They're the directors of a fine new documentary, The Source. part of the San Francisco Film Festival. They're out on the circuit promoting the film. Ladies, you got a tiger by the tail here. There was a lot of controversy just in the Q&A after the initial showing. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the movie, and then we'll go into what's got people talking about it.
Well, I guess the Source family were a group of outlaws who lived in L.A. in the 70s, and they ran a restaurant called The Source that all the movie stars went to and the rock stars, and they had their own rock band, and they, well, there were like 140 of them, and they had this charismatic leader who was very controversial named Jim Baker. He became Father Yod in Yehovah, and they lived in mansions in the Hollywood Hills, and there were like 140 beautiful young people, scantily clad, and strolling down Sunset Boulevard in their, you know, Atlantean robes and see-through nighties, and you know, but they were very disciplined and spiritual too. And this is their story. It's a wild story, and it has a very a pretty wild ending to it too.
What I liked about the film was that you guys didn't come in with the conventional sort of utopian gone wrong angle, which is so common in these kind of movies about the 70s cult.
Well, part of that, I think, came from the fact that we tried to tell the story from the family member's point of view as much as possible. So there's a myriad of perspectives that are all from the family members, and because we were working with this amazing vast archive from Isis Aquarian, who was one of the wives, you know, the family just obsessively documented themselves. We were working with, you know, incredible Super 8 film and audio recordings and their music. I mean, every note of music in the film is derived from the Source family.
I think part of our take on it was developed over time, and it was not even what I planned or Maria planned in the very beginning. But really, when I first saw the material, it was, you know, my friends had this box set from Captain Trip of their music, and I was just blown away by it. I was like, who are these freaks? Like, who are these creepy cult members, you know? And I was fascinated by the creepy cult member side. But then when I got to meet them and got to know them, I was like, oh, these people are really intelligent, and they are funny, and they're charming, they're like funny to hang out with, and they've clearly experienced something really deep, and something that I don't know, like I didn't experience growing up in the 80s, you know, in the 90s, and that just made me want to get to know them better. And the more we got to know them, the more we realized that the inside story of the Source family, which is like what was meaningful to them and what was magical and what was really important to them, was much more interesting than the story that most people like see and suspect from the outside, which is like, oh, there was this cult leader who was like manipulating these people, and then he got carried away and he was screwing all these underage women, and it was an awful scene that imploded. It was so much more than that, and the inside reality was far more interesting than the typical story that, you know, we usually hear about these.
You do speak to a lot of the original members, and many of them have come through. I mean, they're still alive. It certainly doesn't appear that the experience damaged and destroyed them. Do you feel that the Source was atypical or typical of these kind of communal movements of the 60s and 70s?
I mean, I would say that in some ways they were atypical, and the way that they were atypical is that they were all so beautiful, and that they were in the heart of Hollywood, and you had this sort of like sophisticated group of young people, not all of them that were that way, but you had like musicians who were touring with major rock bands like Jimi Hendrix and, you know, Led Zeppelin. You had people who had really been around the block and experienced a lot in the world, and then you had really young people too who were like 14 years old, you know, and just like runaways and things like that. So, you know, in some ways they were atypical just because of the restaurant they had that was so successful. They had tons of money, you know, they had a lot of stuff that way. But in the way that they were typical, I would say, from my own research over the years, is that what I've realized is that a lot of these like radical experimental groups that were happening back then that, you know, sometimes were cultish and could be branded as cults, you know, sometimes they could be branded as just like communes or just social experiments, they were high-risk situations. Like, they were messy, you know? Like, the rewards were high, and then the downside could be really dark, you know? Kind of like being a rock musician, you know what I mean? Like, you might hit the jackpot,
and, you know, be with more women than you ever fantasized about being with in your lifetime and have, like, a mansion somewhere and tons of money. Or you
well,
could,
in
like,
other words, be like me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or you could end up with no money, no women, and, like, die of a heroin addiction. You know, but you get to experience these highs and lows that most ordinary people never touch. And that's what I found was what it was like in this family for a lot of those people. And a lot of them had experienced, you know, highs in the rock world before, you know, but that didn't even compare to what they were getting from the family. So that happened with a lot of these like cultish, occult groups. You know, they were getting these like these rarefied experiences, but the risks were high.
That it was a ripe time for people to experiment, and we're moving back into that now. But there was so much strife going on in the world, and a lot of these the family members had like 1950s. Parents who they couldn't relate to, and they were fracturing from their families, and there was a fracture with the youth generation because of, you know, the choice was either you accept the draft and you go to war, or you do something completely off the rails and try something new. And now we're not really, I mean, we're edging closer to that, but it was just the time was really ripe for that at that period.
You know, there are a lot of similarities between what was going on then and what was going on now. The only thing that we don't have now is the draft. You know, we have a lot of people who feel forced into going to war because everybody's unemployed, so the government's kind of done it a different way this time, you know, because they know that the draft was what caused so much of the uprising, you know, last time. But you cannot underestimate the power of LSD, you know, because when
I never
when,
do.
Because when people were, you know, turned on back then, there were a lot more good trips, I think, you know, back then, and people were turned on to acid, and they were like seeing something larger than themselves that was so much more extraordinary than the mundane world that they wanted more of that. And some people just went ahead and like kept eating acid and then became casualties, but then other people, you know, experienced that sort of ecstatic high and that access to other dimensions that they'd never had, and they wanted more of it, so they wanted discipline. And that's what I think led people to a lot of these like radical spiritual groups.
Well, in the interest of handing out discipline, we are going to play another track, but I will be right back with Jody Willie and Maria Demopoulos from The Source.
Cootie snap all night long. The Vocaliers right there. True classic. And before that, the Coat Hangers. Don't touch my shit. Now, you can't have that kind of attitude if you're hanging with the Source.
That's right, man. 140 people in three rooms. You bet they were touching each other's shit.
Coat Hangers, man. Bumming my vibe, man. Come on.
Now, wasn't it wild, though? I mean, when I talked to Jody and, to a lesser extent, Maria, I really got the feeling that she'd fallen in love with this guy.
Oh, like, they drank the Kool-Aid, man. I'm convinced
now. Yeah, I mean, and she kind of admits it, but that's part of what I love about her. You know, she went in there and she did not make an apologetic movie. She didn't say, we're sorry about the 70s. It was all a big misunderstanding.
I think they like this utopian thing. They like, you know, the see-through 90s and running around playing in a 120-man band.
That's
and
right.
Up in the Hollywood Hills in some mansion and working together. I mean,
I know, but doing some guy's dishes would have been a drag. And, you know, when you see the movie, I mean, they talk about how there were, like, ordered marriages and all kinds of interesting things that, you know.
It's the price you got to pay.
I'm telling you, in this next section, though, we talk about the Source group, Yahuwah 13.
Ooh,
it's come to be a very famous group. So
all right, we're back with Maria Demopoulos and Jody Willie. They are the auteurs behind The Source. It's a great new documentary. Tell me a little about the music that The Source made and how it happened.
Well, you know, The Source family had a lot of talented musicians come into it, you know, people who were professional musicians or who were good at what they did. And there was, in the Mother House days, the early days, people would just play together and write their own songs. It was more of like a folky singer-songwriter type thing. But there was a point in the family where Father Yod thought ego was getting in the way of the songwriting.
In music?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Of the family members. So he declared that from then on, all of the music would be spontaneous. And so he took three of, I think, what he considered maybe the best, like, improvisers in the family. And that was Jin Aquarian, who's this brilliant guitarist, actually. If you listen to their best stuff, it's incredible. And Sunflower, who played bass, and then Octavius on the drums. And Sunflower is the guy who was traveling with, you know, Jimi Hendrix and the Doors and people like that. And Octavius was a professional musician who played on a lot of records and stuff. And they made a recording studio out of their garage, and they made these records. They made nine records that they pressed themselves and put out, like, maybe between, I think, 500 and 2,000 of each record, with this absolutely insane record art, which you have to see is, like, the craziest, most brilliant record, like outsider cult record art.
So this is like classic DIY punk style, do it yourself. They played it themselves, recorded it themselves, put it out themselves.
And sold it behind the restaurant. They had Hierarchy Records that was behind the restaurant.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's like the equivalent of hip-hop guys selling it out of the trunk.
Yeah, yeah, they sold it themselves. They sold their records for $10 each in 1974, which is kind of crazy. But I guess some people, you know, bought them. And then they just, when the family disappeared, everything just disappeared from people's consciousness for many years. But then in the late 80s, that sort of New England scene with like Byron Coley and Thurston Moore and those collectors up there, the site collectors, they stumbled across these records again. And there was just this kind of new awareness, but people didn't know what it was. They called it, it wasn't Jesus music, it wasn't like the Jesus freak music, it was kind of heavier and weirder than that, but it was still God music. And Byron Coley told me that because of the Source family, there's this niche of psych rock called Higher Key, which is basically that kind of music. It's spiritual, but it's rock and roll. It's not Jesus music. It's harder edged. It's more psychedelic, but it's not acid music. And so then it became popular. And then when the box set came out in 99, that raised awareness further. And then when the book came out that I did with Isis and Electricity, we got a lot of attention for that book, like a lot of press and stuff. And then we got the band back together when we did events. And there was so much... like response from that five indie labels ended up putting out Source Family music in a year, the year after the book came out. And then the band ended up playing in LA and San Francisco, Seattle, and then on the East Coast, they did an East Coast tour, and they ended up putting out new records too. So Yehoah 13, the improvised, you know, band, went on the road and did really well with it. And so, yeah, they put out three records, and Jin actually played a show, you know, last night. So it's been pretty incredible. And then Drag City, you know, out of Chicago, ended up putting out two Source Family records, and they're putting out a new one that's coming out in like 6 weeks, called The Thought Adjusters, and it's a double album, and it's really great. So there's music all over the place now that people can get. Oh, and then there was Sky Saxon, who was like a devoted son of Yehoah till he died. I've got to spend quite a bit of time with him, you know, in the last few years of his life, which was such an honor because he's such an amazing, like, wild, unearthly human being, you know? He did some recording stuff in the studio with Billy Corgan, actually, because Billy Corgan was very supportive of Yehoah 13 getting back together more than any other, you know, rock star that I've met. And his music always had like Yehoah, Yehoah, you know, all that stuff in it, and dogs, of course.
Well, we need to pay tribute to one of my favorites of all time. This is The Seeds on Radio Like You Want.
Fade away, the flowers fade, fading away. A punk, a finger, right on you. A punk, a finger, right on you. No, no, not on me. No, no, not on him. A punk, a finger, right on you. A punk, a finger, right on you.
You know, the Beat Generation in New York were all shooting heroin and wearing sunglasses and playing bongo drums and drinking. You know, and were very nihilistic. You know, in California they were all, you know, eating avocados and, you know, pumping iron and, you know, running around with their clothes off, I suppose. You know.
Studio built into our house, and we would take that recording studio with us wherever we went. And after morning meditation, the musicians would gather and we would just start to lay it down.
He said the music was going to be, that the music was way before its time, and that his message would come out through the music.
And he said that, you know, it would carry a frequency that would be like spiritual seeds that would transcend time.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go.
Oh yes, time once again for the caring, touching, tiger side of Radio Like You Want.
Feels nice. Well, you know, we're hearing from Kathleen Hanna and La Tigra this
time. Is no docile estrogen OD. This is the full-blown estrogen OD in your face,
yes,
the bikini kill
they
style.
They would protest that their song was being played on a man's show.
On radio.
Like you want.
See you later.
Don't go just yet. Radio Like You Want rolls on. Le Tigre right there. Decepticon, that's our estrogen OD of the week. Smash hit maker Charles Manson before that, I'm on Fire. Now, it's a trippy little single he recorded in San Quentin, right?
Well, usually, yeah, that one was live in San Quentin. Usually when you hear the old Manson stuff, it's some of the stuff that he recorded in the 60s, and right. It's got a kind of an otherworldly but poppy vibe. That one was more like he was just dredging it up from the bottom of his soul. I played that because Jody and Maria specifically asked me, now, don't tie all this stuff in with Charles Manson and all that, all those cult leaders
okay.
from the 90s.
Sure, so, girls, yeah. I won't.
Of course I
And
had
here
to
we
play.
Are a couple weeks later saying, and that was Charles Manson.
That's right.
Before that, the Seeds, Two Fingers Pointing, Sky Saxton, Immortal.
From their classic third record, Flowers. Now, that was when they were kind of losing it, but they were still...
I don't
still
know if I call it their classic record.
Still
they
basically...
They only have one classic, and the other two... Yeah.
Pushing Too Hard is basically the only Seed song, and that's then every song is a variation on that. But Sky went and joined the Source cult. He changed his name to Sky Sunlight Saxon.
Wow.
And he had a special interest in dogs and natural food. And, of course, if you've seen some of these Source girls... It all ties in together. Dogs, natural food.
He should have just ate at Wendy's instead of that vegetarian place. And would have satisfied his need right there. All right, you got some more interview coming up from these chicks from the Source. So what are we talking about next?
We talked about Jody's imprints, the books she's put out, the music books she's done. Well, here it is, Mike. Enjoy.
Oh, thank you.
All right, I'm back with the directors of the Source, Maria Demopoulos and Jody Willey. Now, Jody, you've been responsible for editing and releasing a bunch of books through your imprints, Process Media, which you do with the great Adam Parfrey. We've interviewed him. And Dilettante Press. And, of course, this entire Source thing came from a book which you collaborated on with Isis Aquarian of the Source family. Tell me about the other books you put out and what some of them that our listeners might be interested in, music-related stuff. You put out a great
Radical
book on the 13th
stuff.
Floor elevators, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And what was that called?
That was called I Mind. And then we did a book on the, you know, the MC5, you know, John Sinclair from the White Panthers. It was his book, Guitar Army. And we did that book and actually had a CD in the back with, like, rare tracks from Detroit bands and the Black Panthers and the White Panther, like, meeting stuff. And then we put out a book on Moondog, you know, Moondog, that 60s musician, the Viking, the crazy Viking.
Who wrote the song Nature Boy? Is this the right guy?
No, that was actually Eden Abes,
who
was an influence on Jim Baker. Jim Baker knew Eden Abes, and the Nature Boys were what Jim Baker was a part of before he became Father Yod. It's interesting you bring that up. And this was somebody else. Moondog was in New York. So we like to do like underground visionaries, basically. People who have influenced a lot of other interesting thinkers, you know, interesting musicians, writers. We like to get to the essence, you know, those people who are visionaries. And then, so we do a lot of like pop culture, subculture book. We did a book on Andy Kaufman, Dear Andy Kaufman, I Hate Your Guts.
A classic.
All the hate letters he received when he challenged the women of America to an intergender wrestling match.
We should play the Mighty Mouse theme, it just in tribute to Kaufman.
Yeah, stuff like that, you know.
Well, it's such a varied and brilliant group of books that you've edited, but I'm glad that you got that you're getting into filmmaking now, because I can't recommend this movie highly enough. I think you put in enough information about the sort of sordid underbelly of it, but you know you kept it, you know, they've lived to tell the tale. So thank you so much for your film, The Source. And
and I just want to just jump in and say one thing. If you're interested in screenings, you can go to thesourcedoc.com. We're going to be touring festivals across the country this year, and we are doing a theatrical release this fall.
Don't miss it. Be very first on the list. Jody Willey, Maria Demopoulos, thank you so much. The Source on Radio Like You Want.
Wake up, Sherylina, you're a woman now, and the world is at your command. Wake up, Sherylina, you're a woman now, for the first time you hold life in your hands. I may not see it anymore, one thing I'm very sure, you're a woman now. Wake
up Sherilina. You're a woman now. Any day love will take you by surprise. Wake up Sherilina.
Shop.
This is Jody Willie from the Source documentary, and my guilty pleasure is backseat of my car.
I had no idea the Doors had music like that, Mike. This is incredible.
The Doors?
Must be an outtake.
Yeah, well, you know, Jim Morrison, very diverse guy. The Dwarves right there, Blag. Backseat of my car, somebody's guilty pleasure. Whose guilty pleasure could that be? I don't know.
Must be Jody Willie from the Source documentary.
Really?
I hope you enjoyed that crazy, kooky interview. Before that, we heard Brand New Punk from the city of Tucson. That was the Besmirchers and I Drink from Your Milkshake.
Sent in by Terry Easley of the Besmirchers.
That's
before
right.
That, The Smoke, Wake Up Sherilina. It Came from the Garage feature this week. What a kooky little track that
was. That
was
one of your more pretentious and bizarre It Came from the Garage. Maybe, what is he talking about? Is it like, I fucked you now and now you're a woman?
Yeah,
is
he
it
gave
kind of
the
a
gift of womanhood. I mean, it was just so pretentious and stupid. It makes me laugh every single time.
But it's kind of Neil Diamond-y, right? Like, girl, you'll
yeah.
be a woman soon.
No, I mean, that guy's like full-blown serious, you know, like, oh, gee, thanks,
guy. I've given you something so important in the backseat of my Impala.
Wait till you get convicted and thrown in prison there, the guy from The Smoke, and then some big prison mate will be singing that song to you.
If Jim Baker from The Source can get away with fucking a bunch of 14-year-old girls, why can't the guy from The Smoke tell them they should be happy?
Hey,
about
man, it's all cool. I just say live and let live together in a commune in the Hollywood Hills.
That's right. Do my dishes and fuck my friends.
You tripped out on this whole dish thing. You just hate dishes.
The idea that someone...
All right, we'll put you on laundry. How about that? Does that sound better? You can clean the floors. You can paint the halls.
Let's check out Mac Dre.
Microphone. Yeah, 1, 2, 1, 2. Stupid shit, man. It's me and I rock up in here. We rock the stupid hip hop, man. We don't rap. Stupid hip hop is what we do. Yeah, that I mean. Yeah, and I'm hooked with a Keystone team, man. More strength. A bunch of gorilla type. I'm so Razorback type niggas. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm a Mac. Crack it all up, Bab, I see.
Oh, yeah, Mac Dre, king of the Bay Area. He is on a hoe. Mike, we got to end it up with some Bay Area hip-hop each and every time.
Absolutely. Each week, we got to interject that. But we got to thank our guests as well, Jody and Maria Demopoulos from The Source documentary. Go out there and check that out.
Go out and see that movie. We got to thank Candy Stain from Argentina. John Gentile from Philly, Mike. It's the one from Philly. Don't get it twisted.
From the Montana guy.
I'll tell you what. You can hit us up, radiolikeyouwant.com, every Friday. Get the brand new podcast. Every other Friday, Mike. We're going bi. We're going bi-weekly.
Hey, man. Come on now. I thought we were just keeping that to ourselves. Hey, and do like Terry Easley of the Besmirchers did. Hit us up at interviews at radiolikeyouwant.com. Send us some tunes. Send us your band. Whatever the fuck you want.
She got to get it. No, she got to get it. That though, man, you gotta be with it, pimping all up in my soul, man. The only way we living all up on the hoe, man. On the hoe, man.
Greedy worldwide.